Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Tes. 99 of Masechta Zvachim. We start today the 12th perek of Zvachim. In our new perek, we're going to be discussing those people, those Kohanim, are not allowed to eat Kabanos. We focus more on the person. We spent the majority of the Masechta talking about the carbon itself, the procedures and the protocols and the regulations regarding the actual carbon. And now we shift a little bit, and we're going to talk about the Kohen himself, Kohanim that are qualified to eat karban, and Kohanim who are disqualified from eating karbanos. Just in general, everyone should know that the way it normally works out is that the Kohanim were set up on a system of a week working in the Beit HaMikdash, shifts. The shifts were called Mishmaros. Mishmaros in the Beit HaMikdash worked, where if you were part of a Mishmar, a particular Mishmar, so you would work in the Beit HaMikdash for that 1 week. By the time the first Beit HaMikdash rolled around, so it was broken up into 24 Mishmaros. So there are 24 shifts. So 24 shifts working 1 week per shift, so you basically worked 2 weeks a year. Okay, not a bad job. Right. I mean, of course, your job involved, you know, possible, you know, MISA, because, you know, there are opportunities. Right. It's a dangerous job, but still, though, 2 weeks a week, 2 weeks a year, you're on call. You're in the Beit HaMikdash, and you're working in the Beit HaMikdash. Even the Mishmar itself was then further organized and further divided. So the Mishmar itself was broken up into a Beis Av. Beis Av is then the Mishmar taken and broken up into six Batei Av, six subdivisions. Literally, it means families, if you will, within the Mishmar. So that the Beis Av would work one of the 6 days of the week, meaning Sunday through Friday, right? 6 days of Avoda. So they would work, each Beis Av would work one of the 6 days. And then on Shabbos, the whole Mishmar got together on Shabbos, and the whole Mishmar would work that Shabbos. If you were on that day, so it's possible you'll get called to do the Avoda. It's possible you won't do the Avoda. You'll get a chalukah, you'll get a distribution of the carbon. The carbon is meant to be eaten, not all carbon is obviously carbonola. No one's going to be eating a carbonola, but carbon chatas, carbon asham, carbon shlamim. There are going to be distributions in the Beis HaMikdash. So what we're going to be discussing over the course of our sugya today, the Mishnah and the sugya, is who gets the distribution, who gets the chalek, if you will, of the carbon. So we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about who doesn't get a chelek. Tvul yom u'mechus kippurim einam cholkim b'kashim l'echol l'erev. So if you have a tvul yom, if you have somebody who is the status of a tvul yom, I'll specify what that is in just a moment, or u'mechus kippurim, so einam cholkim b'kashim l'echol l'erev, so they don't get a portion of the kashim to eat this particular evening. Okay, let's go over each one of these. Number one, a tvul yom. Tvul Yom is somebody who becomes Tami Midaraisa, comes into contact with an Avatoma, with a source of Tumah. Let's keep the case nice and simple. He touched the Sheretz. And so now, what does he have to do? He or she, but we're talking about Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So this conversation is really he. So what does he have to do? So he has to Tovel in the Mikvah, right, that day, the day that he actually touched the Sheretz. And he has to wait until evening. So from the time that he Toveled in the Mikvah until the evening comes around, so from that period, he's called the Tvul Yom. Tvul Yom means that he is somewhere in the middle between being Tameh and being Tahor. Right? When he touches the Sheretz, he's now Tameh. By the time the night rolls around, he's now Tahor. So the time between Toveling in the Mikvah and the night, he's somewhere in between he's called throughout the Mishnayos a Tvul Yom. What is the status of a Tvul Yom? So, meaning, what does it mean that he's partially Tameh, partially Tahor? So we generally assume that he's in the category of a Sheni L'Tumah. Sheni L'Tumah, meaning that if he touches Truma we know is sensitive, it has Kedusha, it's more susceptible to Tumah, so if it touches Truma, so the Truma will be possible, will be disqualified. So this Tvul Yom has the status of a Sheni L'Tumah. For sure, now, if he can't touch Truma, you can only imagine, he can't touch Kachim, right, Karbanos, that's out of the question. So from the time that he tovels in the mikvah until the evening, he's not eligible to touch a carbon and certainly not to eat a carbon. Okay. What about when the nighttime rolls around? By the nighttime rolls around, he has now eligibility. He's allowed to eat a carbon because when the night rolls around, he's totally tahor. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is, and listen, because the Mishnah is really telling us a chiddush, that even though tonight he's going to be fine, he still can't get a distribution. Because right now, Lamaisa, right now he's Tameh, even though he's a Tvul Yom, he has residual Tumah. So as of right now, he cannot eat a Chelek in the Karban. So since that's true right now, even though by tonight, problem solved, he won't be Tameh anymore, nevertheless, he does not get a distribution. That's the first Chiddush of the Mishnah. Now let's turn to Mechusar Kippurim. What's Mechusar Kippurim? That's talking about somebody who's Tameh, and in order to rectify the situation, has to wait the requisite amount of time in order for his tumah to go away. Plus, he has to bring karbana. So, a zav, a zava, a yoledes, and a mitzora. Okay, those four categories. They're people who are tameh, and for their tumah, what they need to do is they need to wait the requisite amount of time. For a zav, a zava, and a mitzora, it's 7 days. For Yoledes, it's more than 7 days, but they have to wait a requisite amount of time. Then let's go zav zava. Let's go with the zav. It's easy. So a zav has to wait 7 days. Tovel's on the 7th day. Waits until the evening of the 7th day. Still, even though he's no longer tameh anymore, his tumah went away, but still has got one more thing going on, and that he has to bring karban on the 8th day. The karban is that he has to bring on the 8th day. From the evening until the morning, he's now called Mechusar Kippurim. The term Mechusar Kippurim means he's lacking in Kapara. He's missing Kapara. And until he brings the Karban on the 8th day, that's it. He's also out of the discussion of eating Karbanos. Interesting, Mechusar Kippurim is not Tameh. Tumah is not the issue. The issue is that he's just simply lacking part of his Kapara, of his atonement. And once he brings the Karbanos on the 8th day, so he's disqualified from eating Karbanos, from eating Kachim. So if you have a Kohen who's Mechusar Kippurim, so he also can't get a distribution. And again, over here, it's even a bigger Chiddush, because his Tumah, he's not really Tumah. And his problem will be solved. He doesn't have to wait till the evening.
He's not a Tvul Yom.
Huh? We're not talking about a Tvul Yom.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Mechusar Kippurim is, by definition, not a Tvul Yom. Right? Tvul Yom, he already satisfied the day before. Right? He's now on the next day. He's on the day that he needs to bring his... He's on the next day. He's on the day that he needs to bring his karbanos. And his problem will be solved once the karbanos are brought. So the truth of the matter is that his resolution will occur even earlier. And still the chiddush of the Mishnah is that he can't get a distribution of the karban if he's in a state of Mechusar Kippurim. Okay, so those are the first two points of the Mishnah. A Tvul Yom Mechusar Kippurim, a Kohen working in the Beis HaMikdash that day, he's not working, by the way, right? If he's a Tvul Yom Mechusar Kippurim, but he's part of the Mishmar, he's part of the Beis Av, he does not get a distribution of the Kabanos because he's a Tvul Yom or because he's a Mechusar Kippurim. Even though, the Mishnah says, even though, of course you're not giving it to eat it right now, you're giving it to him to eat tonight, still he doesn't get a distribution. Okay, next. Onein. Okay, now, when we're going to talk about Onin over the course of this parak, so let's separate. We normally think about Aninus in terms of, Rahman al-Islan, you have a relative who dies, and you're an Onin, you're in the status of being an Onin. And your status of being an Onin generally means that now you're putter from doing mitzvahs because you have to turn all your attention to the mace and to take care of the burial of the mace, so therefore you have a ptur, you have an exemption now of having to do the mitzvahs in the Torah. You still can't do any of the Yisurim in the Torah, but you have an exemption of doing the mitzvahs in the Torah. That's how we normally generally think about Onin, because that's how Onin applies to our lives, our halachic lives. But we are not talking about that. When we talk about Aninus in the Mishnah, in Masechta Zvachim, we're talking about an Onin who can't eat Karbanos, can't do the Avoda, and can't eat Karbanos. What is an Onin from the perspective of the Mishnah? It means B'yom HaMisa, meaning on the day of death, so the person, the Kohen, who is the relative, the surviving relative, is an Onin on that day. And consequently, that means that for the remainder of that day, that Kohen can't do the Avoda. Even after burial, right? In other words, this is why you have to make sure you distinguish between what we think of Aninus and what the Mishnah, in terms of Karbanos, thinks about Aninus. Even after burial, you're still an Onin. Meaning an Onin means the day, the Yom HaMisa, on the day of death, you're an Onin for the balance of that day. What about the night after the day? So that's tomorrow's discussion. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Laila Achayom, the night after the day. Machlokes Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, whether or not Aninus extends to the night after the day. right? So we'll see that later on. But let's assume right now, Aninus is only the day, that by the nighttime rolls around, you're no longer no name. Still, the halacha is that for that day, you're not allowed to eat karbanos. So that's the next part of the Mishnah. Onain, if you're an onain, nogea ve'eno makriv. Ve'eno cholek le'chol erev. So number one, you could touch the carbon. That's number one, if you're an onain. Sure. Because an onain's not tamei. Now, if the kohen, you know, it's a relative. So if the kohen does the kvura, so obviously, yeah, obviously it's tamei. Obviously. But we're not talking about that.
Does he have to do anything with seven? He
can. If it's a family member, he can. He has permission to do so. So, but we're not talking about where he did the kvur, because if he did the kvur, then there's no discussion to be had. He's tummy. He's not only tummy, he's tummy mace. Okay, we're not talking about that case. We're talking about it where he's a no-name. Other family members took care of the kvur, so he can touch karbanos if he wants. He's not going to disqualify the karbanos. He's not tummy. An onin is not tummy. An onin is a status, but that doesn't mean you're tummy. You're excluded from doing the avoda, but you're not tummy. So he's no geya. He's eino makriv. He can't bring karbanos. If you're an onin, you're not allowed to bring karbanos. In fact, not only you're not allowed to bring karbanos, avoda that's done by an onin is mechulal. Right? The avoda doesn't work. You're not allowed to do avoda. And even if you did so, it's no good. The avoda is mechulal.
Is it penalty also?
Right, so good question. Is it is there malchus if he does so? It's a lav. Okay, I'm not sure. Good question. So nogea ve'eno makriv, so he can't offer ve'eno cholek lechol erev. And again, you might have thought, okay, fine. So he can't do the avoda now, but nighttime comes around and he'll be no longer an onay. So give him a distribution now so that he can eat tonight. And again, the Mishnah's point is the same point, right? Different person, different status, but same point. Because he can't eat right now, because he's in a disqualified state right now, therefore you can't give him a distribution, even though by tonight he'll be okay, he'll be acceptable. Mishnah says you can't do that.
What does it mean, he touches offerings? What does that mean?
It means he's allowed to. It means that it won't affect the carbon if he does, because he's not tummy. So ve'eno makir, ve'eno cholek lecholar, of bale momim, what about a Baal Mom? Baal Mom is a Kohen who has a physical blemish. Kohen who has a physical blemish cannot do the Avoda. He's disqualified from doing the Avoda. Much like the carbon itself has to be a Tumim and not a Baal Mom, a Kohen also has to be a Tumim and not a Baal Mom. We're talking about physical blemishes, actual physical blemishes of the Kohen. When we get to the Mishnayos and Bechoros, we're going to learn exactly what are physical blemishes that disqualify a Kohen. So if he has a physical blemish, whether it's going to pass or it's not going to pass, whether it's permanent or temporary, doesn't matter. So, you know, Baal Mom can't do the Avoda, right? That we all know. So, Cholkim Va'ochlim. However, with the Baal Mom, he can get a distribution. He can get carbon and he can eat carbon. Okay, this is just in general, you should know that because you're a Baal Mom, because the Kohen is disqualified from doing the Avoda, but he's still a Kohen, with all rights and privileges of being a Kohen, including eating karbanos. He's not Tamei. He's not an Onein. He just has a physical blemish that disqualifies him from doing the Avoda. So therefore, he can absolutely get a distribution, Cholkin Va'ochlin, so he can get a distribution he can eat. So obviously for him, we're going to have to figure out. Meaning we've found somebody who can't do the Avoda and yet can get a distribution. Right? He's unique to our whole discussion. Okay, we'll learn why he becomes an exception to the rule, and what makes it what gives him the right to eat karbanos. Avalo makrivim, but he can't offer karbanos, as we already discussed. Kol she'ein arai lavoda, ein cholek b'basar. And then the Mishnah says something so unbelievably confounding. Then the Mishnah says, right, if you're ein arai lavoda, if you can't do the avoda, then you don't ein cholek b'basar. You don't get a distribution of the karban. And as Rashi points out right here on the Mishnah, wait a second, you just gave me the example of Baal Mom. That's not fair. You just gave me the example of Baal Mom. Baal Mom is allowed to eat karbanos and can't do the avoda, and that violates the general rule of the Mishnah. Kol she'ein arai l'avoda, ein cholek b'basar. So the Gemara is going to raise this question, and the Gemara is going to discuss this issue. The kol she'ein lo b'basar, ein lo b'oros. Okay, another point says the Mishnah. If you don't get distribution of the meat, you also don't get a new pair of leather shoes. Every time a carbon is offered, so there's going to be hide of the carbon as well. Right? The animal's flayed, and even if it's a carbon ola, the animal's flayed, and what happens to the aros? What happens to the hide? So the hide is given to the Kohanim who are doing the avodah on that day. And it's distributed amongst the Mishmar and the Beis Av of that day. So if you're not entitled to a distribution of meat, you're equally not entitled to a distribution of the aros as well. Afilo tami b'shas rika damim, v'tar b'shas hektar chalavim, eino chalak b'basar. And even if you were tami during the zrikas dam, but for hektar chalavim, for the burning of the fats, you were fine. Meaning, basically, what we've been discussing throughout this entire Mishnah. For the daytime, you were fine, but for the night, I'm sorry, for the daytime, you were disqualified, for the nighttime, you're fine. You don't get a distribution of basar shenemar, hamakrivas dam hashlamim, v'asachelav min mei haram, tiyesh shokayim in lamana. If you're makriv the dam, if you were there available, accessible to be makriv dam, then you can get a portion. But if you're not available and accessible, i.e., you're a tummy, you're an onain, so then you don't get a portion of the carbon itself.
What's the last part? Because the last part just told me everything, let's say, like the full yom. What you already told me, you can't give them even to distribute a night.
Right.
The better how many would have been, like, even, let's say, okay, it's shlita, but no good at zrika.
Right. In other words, right, the Mishnah is really, the Mishnah could have really shortened that window.
Yeah.
Right? Mishnah says, if you were okay for the Zvika Saddam, and then the Mishnah could have given an example of, I don't know, I guess Kabbalah. Right? Not Kabbalah. I mean, immediately, it's a big window that the Mishnah gives. Okay, and also the point I made by Mechusi Kippurim. Mechusi Kippurim, you're going to be okay before the night. Right? Right.
So once the Makir Adam is done, he's eligible to get something.
Huh?
Once the Makir Adam is done, he's eligible to get something.
As long as he's eligible during the Hakravas Hadam, during the Zvika Saddam.
But if he's eligible then, but then during the day.
Okay, so then that takes us to the question of Dichui, of being, you know, being rejected. And
what provisions are there? Have the meaning.
No provision. Meaning, look, it's an entitlement. It's, you know, it's not a, you know, they're going to have something to eat. They'll go home. They're not going to walk home hungry, right? Eating the carbonos is a privilege, and unfortunately, he just didn't qualify. He didn't qualify to eat the carbon, and you know, it's definitely a shame. I mean, in other words, he'll be working in the Beis Hamikdash twice, 2 weeks out of the year. So really, this will be it's a rare opportunity, and if for whatever reason, you know,
if he loses qualification in the afternoon, like after the carbon is done. What happened to the his portion?
Well, no, the carbon's still okay. Remember, the carbon...
The carbon is okay, but yeah. His portion is supposed to go for him to eat.
So we'll go, you know, move on.
Somebody else.
Somebody else. You know, we're all replaceable. You know that. Every one of us. Right? I don't give the duff. Somebody else will be here. I'm not worried. Okay. But as long as I'm here... Right, as long as I'm here. We start with the Gemara on the top now of Sadi Tesaman Alf Menahani Mili. So how do we know this? And it's a little bit strange because we just finished the Mishnah, and the Mishnah just brought a Pasuk, so it is a little bit strange now that the Gemara is asking Menahani Mili, how do we know this? Meaning the Gemara always is introducing, where do I see a source for this from Chumash, from the Torah? And the Mishnah just gave us a source, and that's a little bit strange. And be sensitive to the fact that it seems that we already took care of that question. So Amar Ish Lakish Amar Kra Kohen Mechate Osa Yochleno. So the Kohen who's Mechate, don't be confused because it is a confusing word, right? Mechate, you see the word Chet there. Doesn't mean the Kohen who sins. In fact, it's just the opposite. HaMechate means he creates purification, right? It's one of those words that can go either way. It's sin or Mechate to free somebody of sin. So HaKohen HaMechate Osa Yochlanu. So the Pasuk says in Parshat Tzav that it's the Kohen who is doing the Avodah, so he eats. So HaKohen HaMechate Yochel, Shein HaMechate Nochel. So it's a simple drasha. In fact, the Gemara is going to point out it's too simple. It's a simple drasha that if you're the Kohen who's doing the Avodah, you get to eat the carbon. So Klalahu, the Gemara says, what does that mean? That don't take the pasuk as simply as we just did. So what about the whole Mishmar? Meaning only the Kohen who did the actual Avodah, only he gets to eat? The whole idea of distribution is that the other members of his mishmar who are working that week also get a portion. So that can't be what the pasuk means. So the Gemara says, you're right. Roilechitu kamrinan. All right, so that's not what we meant. We meant is that you're right, lechita. You have to be eligible. That's all. In other words, it's a function of eligibility. If you're eligible to do the avoda, so then you get a distribution. And if you're not eligible to do the avoda, then you don't get a distribution. The Gemara says, "Hare katan deina roi lechita va'ochel." Okay, but we know a katan, a minor, can't do the avoda, right? You have to be a bar hachi. You have to be a bar mitzvah. Right, I mean the words literally, meaning you have to be in the category of someone who is commanded. And this young man, who is not a young man yet, he's a boy. So he's a katan, he's a minor. So he can't do the avoda. We know he can't do the avoda. And meanwhile, he can get a distribution. He can eat.
He gets a share. He gets to eat.
Ah, Gemara is going to make exactly that distinction. Avamayo chlenu. So the Gemara says that's what we meant, meaning exactly what Ben just said. Yochlena means yichalkena. It means you get a distribution. Okay, fine. A katan can eat, meaning if you have a katan, say, right, the kohen brings the son with him to the base of Mikdash, you know, come, you want to see the kohen do the avoda, fine, you're a katan, you can't do the avoda. He can sit down with his father, he can eat karbon. Obviously, he has to be in the state of tahara, right? He has to be purified. But assuming that that's true, he can sit down and eat with his father. The point being, he doesn't get an actual distribution. Raylechita cholek shena raylechita ain't a cholek. Okay, good.
So he's going to get his father's share or somebody.
Somebody wants to share with him. They're absolutely entitled to do so. He can eat it. The simple, but he certainly doesn't get a portion. He doesn't get a distribution. So now, obviously, the balmum is going to be our sticking point. Right? This is going to be it. Because we're going to grapple with this a little bit today. We already did so in the Mishnah. A balmum, a physically blemished kohen, can't do the avoda, and yet he enjoys eating karban. So that's a total. And not only does he enjoy eating karban, he gets a chelek, he gets a distribution. Oh, so he really confuses us. So balmum rachmana rabbe. So the Gemara says there's a special riboy. He gets a dispensation. Special riboy akra. Kol zachar b'kohanim. The pasuk says, again, going back to Parshat Tzav, kol zachar b'kohanim. We know the word kol is always a riboy. Torah is telling us we're including somebody who is not normally included. So kol zachar b'kohanim l'rabbos ba'amom. So that's including the ba'amom. The ba'amom, he's included. Ve'ema kol zachar.
Why wouldn't you expand that to also say a little child?
Gemara is going to expand it even further. Ve'ema kol zachar l'rabbos tvul yom. So the Gemara says, look, if you're in the world of expansion right now, if we have a ribui and we're coming to include somebody, so include a tvul yom. And well, we'll go through the logic in just a moment. So the Gemara says, first, mistabra ba'mum, havale l'ribui yeshikain ochel. So the Gemara says, look, I'm more prepared to include a ba'mum because he can eat. A ba'mum is allowed to eat. He can't do the avoda, but he's allowed to eat. So if the Torah is talking about a ribui of distribution, so I'm going to be marba, I'm going to include the ba'amum. Adarabba, the Gemara says, no, if it's based on logic, so I can make an argument that the tful yom, I'd be more inclined to include in this category. Because tful yom, avala l'rebuya de la orta mechsechazeh. Because the tful yom, look, right now he's tamei, and he can't do the avoda right now. But just wait till tonight. Because once tonight comes around, he's totally qualified. See, by the ba'amum, it could be that he'll never do the avoda over the course of his life. But the tful yom, at least tonight, will be qualified. So I would make the argument, look, give him a distribution right now. I know, he's not going to touch it. Let him wait till tonight, and by tonight rolls around, he'll be fine. So if there's a ribui in the Torah, and you're telling me who am I more inclined to include, I would say the tful yom, because tonight he'll be totally okay, as opposed to the balmum, who will never be doing the avoda.
But is it a blemished Kohen that could heal, or is it a permanently blemished Kohen like who does not have a...
The Mishnah makes no distinction. Mishnah says either one of them are going to get a distribution. So even if it's one who's never going to heal, right? Mm-hmm. Missing fingers.
It would be the other way. You're going to say temporarily out of it.
Right.
Temporary blemish would be...
Right, but I would say, again, I would agree with you, but the Mishnah makes no distinction. The Mishnah tells us that either ba'amum. So, hashtami alochazi. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. So we could talk about potential, but we're not going to talk about potential. We're going to talk about hashta, right? Look at the situation right now. Right now, right? The Baal Mom, you're right, he can't do the Avodah, but he can eat right now. The Tvul Yom, right? Neither. Can't eat and can't do the Avodah. So you're right, if I forecast to the future, you're right, I may, the Tvul Yom may be better than the Baal Mom. Correct. But I'm not looking at the future. I'm not forecasting. I'm looking at the situation right now. Baal Mom has a leg up, maybe even literally, has a leg up on the Tvul Yom. Okay, so that is response number one. So the question was, Menahani Mili, how do I know this? So the Gemara says, we'll learn it from the Pasuk of Kohen Mechateo Sa Yochlenu. So Rav Yosef Amar Mechti, Ma Yochlenu Yichal Kenu. So Rav Yosef says, let's attack the pasuk slightly differently. Yochlenu means yichal kena. Lichvi avrachmani yichal kena. So Rav Yosef says, I'm bothered by the following. You're telling me that the pasuk, when the pasuk says yochlenu, it means yichal kena. You know, if the Torah really meant that, so the Torah would have said it. Now I know you could ask me that question very often, because in the world of Torah Shabbat Peh, we see very often they write, we darshan the pasuk to mean something that it doesn't precisely mean. I understand that, but still, in other words, we are in the world right now of defining who gets a portion in a karban. So if the point the pasuk the Torah was trying to make was that hakohen mechate, the kohen who does the avoda, or not just does, but eligible to do, right? Because obviously we're talking about distribution. Yochlenu. And you mean to tell me, this is Rav Yosef's argument, and you mean to tell me that Yochlenu means Yechalkenu? Yeah, but the Torah would have just said that. So, my Yochlenu Shmamina, Roy Lachila Cholek, Shein Roy Lachila Eno Cholek. Now, the Torah is telling us by Yochlenu, it's giving us guidelines. Who gets the distribution? It has to be a consumer, a current consumer, someone who can eat it right now. Good. So according to Rav Yosef now, that Yochlenu tells us yes to the Baal Mom, no to the Tvul Yom. Yes to the Baal Mom, because what are the requirements of eligibility?
Kohen.
Eating. Kohen. The ability to eat. So the Kohen Baal Mom can eat, therefore he gets a distribution. The Kohen Tvul Yom cannot eat, therefore he doesn't get a distribution. Okay, good. Plain and simple. Okay, by Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish will now ask the following question. So let's say he is a Baal Mom and he's Tameh. It really is a brilliant question. Think about it, because it's such a brilliant question. You're a Baal Mom, which means the following. You can't do the Avodah. And yet, you can eat Karbon. You can't do the Avodah, and yet you can eat Karbon, because again, let's go with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says it's all about your ability to eat, and he can eat, so he can't do the Avodah. Okay, so he is an exception. Right? He now falls into the category of the exception to the rule. Our general rule is that in order to get a portion, you can do the Avodah, but he can't do the Avodah, but yet he gets to eat it. He gets the distribution. What if he's a Baal Mom and he's Tameh? Okay, so, right, it's just brilliant. Because now, he's already in the mode of exception. So if he's in the mode of exception, so yes, it's true now, he's Tameh and he won't be able to eat, but maybe still you'll give him a distribution. Now your argument to me is, wait a second, he's Tameh. And the counter argument is, yeah, but remember though, he doesn't fit in the normal rules. Right? He's a Baal Mom. So he already is getting a distribution, not because of the general rule, but because of an exclusion, because of an exception. So maybe that exception would cover even the fact that he's Tameh. Kevin de lo chazev v'rachman rabbe lo shna, mali Tameh mali bamom, odil ma rai l'achila cholek she'en rai l'achila en cholek. Look, do I focus on the fact that he's getting, even though he can't do the avodah, because he's an exception, and so give it to him anyway? Or no? Do I just look at the fact that right now he can't eat because he's Tameh, and that's it, and that'll end our, and that'll end the whole discussion?
He wouldn't come in to even eat, right? If he was Tameh, he wouldn't even come in.
No, he wouldn't eat. Of course not. You're right. You're absolutely right. He wouldn't come in and eat. The distribution would be for tonight.
At night.
Right. So Amar Rabba Tashma, so the Gemara says, okay, how about this? So Kohen Gadol Makriv Oni Veino Ochel Veino Cholek Lechol Erev. So the Gemara says we have the following. It's the Mishnah, it's a Braisa, probably none of the above. It's a Tosefta. Okay, it talks about a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol can do the avoda under all circumstances. Not if he's tummy. I take it back. Kohen Gadol can't do the avoda if he's tummy. But if he's a no-name, he could do the avoda.
If he's a
Tful Yom, no, then he's tummy. So Tful Yom is tummy, can't do the avoda. But if a Kohen is an onain, Kohen Gadol is an onain, he could do the avoda. Okay, special rule by the Kohen Gadol. Rashi quotes Psukim. Okay, Kohen Gadol can do the avoda even while he's an onain. And by the way, huh?
Aaron
did it while he was an onain. Correct.
And he didn't eat.
And that was the whole machlokas between Aaron and Moshe. Moshe says to Aaron, you should have eaten it. Okay, so Kohen Gadol makriv onin ve'ino ochel. So he can be makriv, but he can't eat. He can't do the he can't have chilav ve'ino cholik lechol arev, and also he can't get a distribution as well. All right, good. Shema mina ra'ila achila be'inan shema mina. That's it. The resolution to his question came pretty quickly and pretty simply. Your ability to get a distribution is all contingent on your ability to eat. If you can eat now, you'll get a distribution. If you can't eat now, you won't get a distribution. And the Kohen Gadol is such a perfect model. Because the Kohen Gadol, he can do the avoda. He has total entitlement and right to do the avoda, and yet he doesn't get distribution. Why? Because distribution is all about eating, and it's not all about eating. Let's not say that simply. It's all about eating right now. And if he can't eat it right now, he doesn't get a distribution. It's plain and simple. That's what the Tosefta says. So the question of Reish Lakish is resolved.
Why can't he eat right now?
Because he's an owning.
So that's why
I know it's a simple question.
Tell your answer. But according to Aaron, he couldn't eat, right?
Aaron couldn't eat. Aaron was right.
You have to burn it.
And you have to burn it.
Nobody could eat it. All the other
Kohanim for sure couldn't eat it.
Aaron was right.
Right, Aaron was correct. He could not eat it. Roy la'achila be'inin shmamina. Bar Rav Oshia, tami be'karbanot sibra mahu, shia chokum. So, Rav Oshia asked the following question. If you are a tami regarding carbon sibor, okay, communal offerings, same story, meaning it just happens to be that it's communal. Communal offering would come in the form of Shabbos and Yontav and Rosh Chodesh and right? And in other words, we're not going to talk about the daily offering because the daily offering is a carbonola. So there's no distribution to talk about. Maybe you could talk about the distribution of the ore, of the hides, but we're talking about eating right now. So we're not talking about the Olas Tamid because that's an ola. So what are we going to be talking about? We'll talk about Chatas that's born in Rosh Chodesh, right? Good example. Chatas born in Rosh Chodesh, so obviously there's going to be distribution. So can I give part of that to a Tameh? Again, we're not discussing where he's going to eat it because he's not going to eat it, he's Tameh. But we'll give it to him and then he'll wait till this evening and he'll eat it tonight. Okay. Now you'll say to me, why should this be any different than what we learned in the Mishnah? In the Mishnah we learned that if you can't eat right now, you don't get a distribution. And so how is this question going to be any different? Okay, good. So mi amrinan hamechate amarachmana v'hai nami mechatehu odama roi l'achila cholek shein roi l'achila eno cholek. Essentially, this is very similar to the previous question. It's just a different scenario, but the same principle. If we're talking about a carbon sibor, so we know that if the majority of the Jewish people are tamei, a carbon sibor can be brought in a state of tumah. So he potentially has the ability to do the avoda with a carbon sibor, even though he's tamei. So now the argument is, look, he can do the avoda, at least in theory he could do the avoda. He is not totally disqualified from doing the avoda of a carbon sibor, so maybe he should get a distribution. Or the flip side is he can't eat the carbon right now, and because he can't eat the carbon right now, therefore he's not entitled to the carbon. So I'm Ravina Tashma Kohen Gadol makriv onin ve'ino ochel ve'ino cholek lechol la'erev shema mina ra'lachila be'ina shema mina. And the proof to the and the answer to this question comes from the same exact place. We go back to the Kohen Gadol, and again the Kohen Gadol is the perfect model. Perfect case study, because the Kohen Gadol does the avoda, totally entitled to do the avoda, and meanwhile the Kohen Gadol can't get a distribution. So totally resolves the question. If you have a carbon sibor where someone's tamei, and in theory he can do the avoda, but it doesn't matter. If lamaisa right now he can't eat, so consequently he does not get a distribution, doesn't get a chelek. Okay. Onein nogea ve'ino makriv. Now, we turn our attention to an onein. Again, remember, an onein is a kohen who lost one of the seven family members. So for the balance of that day, even after the kfura, he's in the state of being an onein, and he can't do the avoda during that day. And he can't do the avoda during that day, and he also doesn't get a distribution. But the Mishnah tells us, if he wants to go over to a karban, first of all, he can be in the Beis HaMikdash. He's not precluded, he's not excluded from being in the Beis HaMikdash. And if he wants to touch a karban, he may do so, and it will not affect the karban whatsoever. Because he's not tummy. Okay. Problem is a Mishnah in Chagiga. Oni no gever minu. Chagiga is this like small little masechta that packs the biggest punch. You know, you're learning masechta. You'll see when we get to Moed. You're gonna see it. You know, it's a couple of years from now. But get to Moed. It's nice. It's Shabbos. Everything's a little tricky. Pesachim. And I'm talking about the next cycle, of course.
Next cycle.
Yeah, right. Right. No. I know we did it already, but I'm looking to the future. Right. A year from this summer, we're done. We're finished with the Shas, and we start again. So a couple of years from now, so we'll be doing the Moed. Right. Shabbos, Erev, and Pesachim. Pesachim is a lot of fun, and then you get to all the Yuma, and you get all. It's all enjoyable. And then you get to Chagiga at the end. And Chagiga is small. It's three prakim. It's a tiny little masechta at the end of Seder Moed. And it is just so difficult. It's such a difficult masechta. Oh, we're going to love it. And the reason why it's so difficult is because the first perek, you know, talks about the carbon chagiga. It's nice. And then after that, it talks about tumah tahara and the Beis HaMikdash. And it's just, you know, you're not learning moed anymore. You're just learning tumah tahara. That's all it is. So, one of the mishnayos at the end of chagiga tells us the following. Onein nogea v'rminu. The Gemara says, I'm going to point out that there's a steer between the Mishnah, between our Mishnah here in Zvachim and the Mishnah in Chagiga. Onein u'mechusa kippurim tzrichim tefila lekodesh. If you're an onein, you need to tovel in the mikvah. You cannot touch carbon until you tovel in the mikvah. In the mikvah. Now, this Mishnah in Chagiga,
doesn't it refer to like the four categories that are mechusar kippurim?
Meaning, after the whole process, even after the whole process, you still can't you can't handle karbanos until you tovel in the mikvah. There's a requirement. I'm going to explain just a moment. Let me explain. Okay. Now, in both of these cases, in tefil yom mechusar kippurim, let's talk about onein. Right. Let's talk about onein. Onein, you can't deal with karbanos until you tovel in the mikvah. This tefillah in the mikvah is a tefillah midirabanan. Okay, we all understand that, and if we don't, now we do. Right? We all understand that. That's only midirabanan. Meaning, if you're an onein, you're not tamei. Again, we're talking about the onein who didn't go to the cemetery and didn't do the funeral. He's just an onein by virtue of the fact that his family member died. Okay, and somebody else took care of the kvura, not him. Okay. He should, meaning as a Kohen, not a Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen Hedgeot, so you should deal with the Kfura and you should be bearing. But we are discussing a Kohen had nothing to do with the burial himself. So he's not Tamei. The Mishnah in Chagiga that speaks to the idea, to the Halacha, that if you're an Onein, before you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you have to tovel the Mikvah, that's a Tumah Midrabanan. It's a rabbinically imposed Tumah on our Onein, for whatever reasons they felt necessary. Okay? I don't...
No, my question is, why does it use the term Mechusar Kippurim? That only refers to a Zav, Zava, Mitzora, and a Yoled. So
right.
Why are you calling it Mechusar Kippurim?
Because the Mishnah Chagig is telling us that he also needs to tovel on the Mikvah. Our Mechusar Kippurim.
But the thing is that... Is he calling it Mechusar Kippurim? Is it onein?
No. The Mishnah is just dealing with two different categories.
Oh, I see.
The Mishnah is just saying an onein and a Mechusar Kippurim, they both need to talk on the Mikvah.
It's not both. It's
correct. Correct. Okay, so onein Mechusar Kippurim, Tzrichim, Tefillin Lekodesh.
Mechusar Kippurim already gone.
Correct. Absolutely correct. So I'm telling you that the Mishnah in Chagiga is not talking about a Tefillin min HaTorah. It's talking about a Tefillin midrabanan. After the whole event.
Mechusar Kippurim tovels again?
Again.
After
this Mishnah Chagig is talking about afterwards there's a tefillah midrabanan. Already we're confused. Okay. So tzrichim tefillah kodesh. So let's follow. The steer is very simple. Our Mishnah here says that you're an Onain. So that's it. You can go into the Beis HaMikdash and you can touch carbon and it's fine. And it's fine. And the Mishnah in Chagiga says, no, no, no. You first have to tov on the mikvah, then you can go into the Beis HaMikdash, and then you can start handling karbanos. Now, you could answer very simply, and it's funny because we're going to give answers to this question, but you can answer very simply that our Mishnah is talking about Min HaTorah, and the Mishnah in Chagiga is talking about Midrabanan. But the Gemara doesn't even offer that answer, and I believe the reason why the Gemara doesn't offer that answer is because if you look, go back to our Mishnah says here, in Onin you could be no Geya. It means that you can actually touch. Our Mishnah is not talking on some sort of theoretical plane. Our Mishnah is saying you go over there as an Onin and you can touch the actual carbon. So to make a distinction, well, our Mishnah is only talking about on a Torah level, hard to imagine. Because our Mishnah is not theorizing. Our Mishnah is saying no Geya. You can actually touch it. So this is going to be tricky because the Gemara is going to really try to make some sort of distinction. Now, I don't want to give away the final answer. The final answer is really the cleanest and simplest answer of the Gemara. But before the Gemara gets to the easier answer and the simpler answer, and what probably is a more correct answer, the Gemara is going to try to give a complex answer. Okay, so let's go first through the complex answer. So, Am Rav Ami, Am Rav Yochanan, Lo Kasha, Kam B'Shatavo, Kam B'Shalotavo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe our Mishnah is talking about after he tovled, and the Mishnah in Chagig is talking about before he tovled. So the Gemara says, what kind of answer is that? Umay have ha hadre ale aninus tama rabba bar ravuna onish tava aninuso choser salav. Toveling while you're an onain, that doesn't help, right? It's no different than tovel v'sheretz biyado, right? You tovel in the mikvah and you're holding a sheretz in your hand. So you get up from the mikvah. Okay, good. You're tummy. It doesn't help you. So here, you're not holding anything in your hand, but you're in a state of aninus. And that state of aninus does not conclude until tonight. So what do you want to tell me? Our Mishnah is talking about where on the day of you being an onin, you tovel in the mikvah. So what?
Go to the next day.
So what? You come out of the mikvah, okay, bad news, you're still an onin. You didn't change your state of aninus. So the first answer that Gemara even suggests, well, maybe you tovel while you're an onin, it doesn't work at all. So okay, fine. So the Gemara says that, okay, it's not, that's not an answer. So lo kasha, the Gemara says, and we're gonna add the word Ella, because Ella always means, I told you this, Ella means, right? Okay, forget what we just said. Let's move on to another approach. Ella lo kasha, hada asachtai te, hada lo asachtai te. So the Gemara is now gonna go to discussions of Hesach Hadas. Now Hesach Hadas means concentration. And the Gemara's suggestion now is that in one case you weren't Mesich Das, in the other case you were Mesich Das. Meaning, when you're an Onin, what's the issue? The issue is that you just lost a relative, right? And understandably, you're distraught. And understandably, you're going to turn your attention away from making sure that you are Tahor. Okay. So maybe the difference between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Chagiga is that our Mishnah is talking about a case where even though you lost a loved one, but you still were able to focus. I know we would give that coin terms like someone who's unemotional and, you know, okay, but another... The point being is that he's able to keep his focus even while he was an Onin. So the only thing that he is an Onin, he's not Tameh. The Mishnah and Chagiga is talking about a Kohen who took the loss pretty hard. Which, by the way, again, that's normal. In other words, it's the loss of a family member. And he no longer was able to concentrate and say, you know what, I'm absolutely sure that I didn't touch a Sheretz and I didn't touch a Mason. I maintained, he no longer maintained his ability to concentrate. He had Hesach Hadas. And so now this rabbinic requirement to tovel in the mikvah is because we don't know, and he doesn't know whether or not he kept his state of Tahara. So the Gemara says, Hesach Hadas, Lishu V'Shvishbay. So the Gemara says, okay, but if he was a real, if he had real Hesach Hadas, and he doesn't know what he handled, you know what he could have been handling? He could have been handling a mace. And And by the way, it makes perfect sense that he was handling a mace because he just lost a family member. It could be, you know, were you at the funeral? You know, he was so distraught. Look, I pretend every now and then I know something about psychology, but you know what I mean? But the human mind is funny. In other words, I don't know. I don't even remember if I was at the funeral. So it could very well be that he came into contact with a mace and that he would require shlishi v'shvi. In other words, he would require paraduma. If you really experience total hesach hadas, see, toveling in the mikvah is not enough. You need paraduma. So lokasha hadas echdaite mitame meif hadas echdaite mitame sheretz. So now this is going to get complex. Oh, wow. So the Gemara is now going to suggest that, well, he had limited hesech hadas, where he knew for sure that he didn't come into contact with the mace. I was careful that I didn't touch a mace. That much self awareness I had, but a sheretz, I don't remember. I don't know. I lost my concentration regarding a sheretz. So tamei sheretz, tamei malyuhu, harav shemesh bai. So the Gemara says, well then, that's not a good answer. Because the Mishnah Chagiga tells us that immediately after he told us in the mikvah, go ahead, entree into the base of Mikdash, and go ahead and you can start handling karbanos. No. If it's real hesach hadas, and he may have touched a sheretz, he's a tul yom, he's got to wait until this evening. So that also, va'od, afilu trumanami. And also, if that's what we're talking about, if the hesach hadas is really, he may have touched the sheretz, so why is the Mishnah Chagiga talking about karbanos? Go broader than that. He can't handle truma as well. So I'm Rav Yirmiyah ba'om nishmati midavar hatme'eni, v'lo nishmati midavar ha'poslani. So again, the Gemara is going to try to now bifurcate and say, well, he was careful about something that would make me really tameh, but I was not careful about a tumah derabbanan, which would inhibit me from going into the base of Mikdash until I tovel in the mikvah. Meaning, if he only came into contact with rabbinic tumah, he need just tovel in the mikvah, and then he would allow entree. And so now the Gemara is making some distinction between levels of tumah. I was careful about one level of tumah, not another level of tumah. Now, at this point in time, you realize really the Gemara is really straining now in terms of answering the stira between our Mishnah in Zvachim and the Mishnah in Chagiga, right? Just when you see the Gemara gives so many ukimtas, right? The Gemara is not giving fundamental answers anymore. The Gemara is saying, well, this case we're talking about, right? It's really dechuya. It's a forced answer. Rashi kind of winks at us. Rashi, look at the bottom Rashi at the page. Look at the last line of the last Rashi on the page. Ushenuye dechikahi. Right, Rashi's telling us the Gemara is really struggling. These are forced answers. V'lo mitukam b'maskana hachi. And Rashi says to us, don't worry, this won't be the conclusion of the Gemara that we're going to really make. Because what we're doing now is we're really, this Mishnah is talking about this case, and that Mishnah is talking about that case, and these aren't fundamental answers. They're not conceptual answers. So the Gemara says, umi'ika nitirusa lapalga. The Gemara says, we have such a concept where you can have a shmira for one thing, but not a shmira for another thing. The Gemara says, no, that's it's true. By the way, it actually happens to be that it's not. It does exist. The Hatanya will learn a brisa. Hasal al rosho, if you're carrying a basket on your head, umagrefa besocho, and you have a magrefa, you have a like some sort of rake in the basket. The amar. And he said, "Libi ala salvei, libi ala magrefa." You know, I was careful about the basket, but I wasn't careful about the rake. So asal tar v'amagrefa tmeya. So the basket's going to be tar, and the magrefa is going to be tame. Now, some technical issues the Gemara deals with the titame magrefa lasal. Well, why doesn't the shovel, the rake, make the basket tame? But the Gemara says, "Ain kli mitame kli." But that's if you know you're turning into tara, well, you know. One kli is not metame another kli.
But can't you say it's a basis for?
Yeah, but it does. That doesn't work in the world of tumah. That's a Shabbos idea. That's not a tumah idea. V'tetame mash besocho. So okay, fine. But why doesn't it become tame anything that's in the basket? Amarava, but omer shmarti medvar hatmeya ametame. V'lo mishmarti medavar haposla. So the Gemara says, yeah, I was careful about levels of tumah. I was careful about things that make it tame, but not things that make it posel on a derabbanan level. Okay, now let's finish up to the two dots, because let's finish this whole discussion. So essentially, steer between the Mishnah Zvachim and the Mishnah in Chagiga. Our Mishnah says an Onan can go and touch Kodesh. The Mishnah in Chagiga says, no, you can't. And so now we are making a distinction between Shmira for levels of Tumah. Okay. The Gemara says this question rolled. Literally, that's what the Gemara says. Igal gal milsa umat eila kami derabi abba bar mama. Amar leilo Shmira lahad amar Rav Yochanan. The question rolled, it got to Rabbi Abba bar Mama. He says, you didn't hear what Rabbi Yochanan says. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, sounds right. Ha'ochel shlishi shel truma asal echol umur deliga. Ama ba'achila avad rabbanan ma'ala b'nigilo avad rabbanan ma'ala. Okay, it's so simple. The Mishnah in Chagiga is talking about eating carbon. Our Mishnah is talking about touching carbon. This rabbinic stringency that you need to tovel in the mikvah is only a requirement if you want to eat carbon. But if you want to touch carbon, that's fine. So,
but what risk? Because one cannot eat anyway.
Right, why would one be eating?
Huh?
Why would one be eating?
No. I understand. But no, in other words, the Mishnah Chagiga, Mishnah Chagiga says he tovels in the mikvah not while he's an Onan. We're not discussing that. After he's an Onan, the Mishnah Chagiga says he's got to tovel in the mikvah. That's a rabbinic requirement. Now what we're saying is that in the world of, just if you just want to touch the carbon, that's fine. That's okay. If you want to eat carbon, now there's a rabbinic requirement that you have to tovel in the mikvah in order to eat even after your aninus. Not during your aninus. Even after your aninus, there's a rabbinic requirement. So this whole distinction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Chagiga is the difference between eating and touching.
But the basis for that is still a difference about touching chariots.
No. It's mala. It's a rabbinic stringency.
For what reason?
Good question. I don't have an answer yet.